when we look at growing and enduring and persevering and the patience it takes, James is going to show the church. And remember, he's writing to a church, the Jewish church of that time. And there's a lot of social pressure. There's a lot of different things that are happening that are keeping them. He's encouraging them to press forward. And we need that encouragement today. Amen. We need to know that regardless of the storm that comes before us, if we are anchored in the right place, then we can have patience in what God is doing, even in the midst of. We have courage in understanding that in our us being anchored with the Lord, that it doesn't matter what storm comes before us. Amen. That when we stand firm, we're going to get through it, and God has a greater place after. Amen? Just like Jess said, you know, instead of looking at the last 10 years of our life, let's look at the 10 million years, infinity, eternity with our Father in heaven. Every word that is spoken, every word that is written in our Bible, in His Word, His living Word, is pointing towards what He does and how He keeps us. And that's important to know. We need to remember that, because this life is tough. You know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and all the things that are coming against us, but it's always when it's right at our doorstep is when we start to panic a little bit. Well, guess what? It's going to come at your doorstep. But we got to be patient in what the Lord's doing. Sometimes He allows the enemy to come to the doorstep. Job, amen, right? And He allows it for a greater purpose that He has for you. But we can quickly forget and fall into that temptation or to whatever the enemy is putting before us, when all we need to do is look to God. So we're going to be in James chapter 5, verse 7. We're going to pray it in before we get into the scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. Lord, we thank You for all the joy that You're bringing families right now, for our children being home, for the joy and laughter and the chaos and the noisiness, and how parents are trying to entertain them and the exhaustion that comes with that. But Lord, we just thank You for the time that You give us. We thank You for every morning and every day. We thank You for every evening and every opportunity that we could come in as the body of Christ and fellowship together. We thank You for Your words that continue to pierce through our bone and marrow and just cut through and shape us into the perfect creation that You've created us to be, Lord. We pray that today this message just continue to encourage us, to challenge us, to drive us in a place where we're seeing You so clearly that there's only one direction that we want to go, and that's with You and wherever You're headed. We thank You for Your victory over our lives. We thank You for Your grace and Your forgiveness on a daily basis when we stumble. And Lord, we just thank You for being You. We thank You for Your words today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. If you are in James chapter 5, verse 7, say amen. Amen. And you're going to see, as we start breaking this section down, you're going to see why there was no way that I could carry on into the next section. Because this is relevant and it's too much of a good challenge. I like challenge. You guys understand something? Look, you guys are warriors of God. Yes. Okay? We're not just these little weak people. Yes, He calls us His sheep. We are His flock. But we are warriors in a world that is broken. And it takes patience and endurance to persevere that. And Paul continually shows us that. But the greatest one of all showed us how to get through it. Amen. Jesus. Remember, every time we can look at Paul, we can look at the prophets, and you're going to see some of the reference to the prophets. You can look at all the names of the Bible, and God specifically used them to show us not only did Jesus do it, but normal Joes like Job, like David, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, normal Moses, guy that couldn't even speak, had a stutter. You had. I mean, think of all the names in the Bible of all those that persevered and failed at times. They failed. David and Goliath. They failed. And you know what? It's okay that we're going to fail sometimes. Because guess what? The only one person that didn't fail is Jesus. Amen? He walked the purest, the perfect life, and He had to do that to redeem all of mankind. Now, I'm going to relieve you guys of something. You don't have to save mankind. You can't do it.
Amen.
Amen? Pressure off the shoulders. But you are called to endure and persevere. That's where it gets a little sticky. But here we go. Verse 7 says this. Be patient then. And I'm going to stop right there, because if you weren't here last week, what did we talk about? We talked about the pressure of the rich. We talked about the pressures of riches and what that could turn into, and how fast corruption can come into us through riches. And how many of you guys would love to be rich? Don't raise your hand. Because we are already rich. We are rich in the Holy Spirit. We are rich in His grace. We are rich in forgiveness. And we are rich because we are heirs to the kingdom of God, which is the greatest kingdom that has ever made it through life. And will continue on even after this is all gone. Amen? So we are rich. So He is saying now, if we understand that we look at God for our riches in heaven, and I'm not talking about monetary gain, I'm talking about the riches of what He has blessed us with, then we need to be patient. He says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. When is the Lord's coming? I don't know, but He's coming. There's a confidence in that word already. He said, be patient, right? Brothers and sisters, that's all y'all, until the Lord comes. Because guess what? He's coming. Is it tomorrow? I don't know. Would I love it to be? Me personally, yes. But guess what? There's a lot of people that need to understand that still. It says, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. And you're going to hear this word patient a lot of times in here. He says, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm. And I want you to, every time I say patient, you should underline it or highlight it with your highlighter. And this one I want you to really, however you outline and make it bold in your book. It says, be patient, this is verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm. That right there, stand firm. You guys got to remember that. It says, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And I'm going to stop right there. Now, we kind of heard this already, this idea about judging and judging others and judgment and all that. Actually, in James chapter 4, verse 12, he talks about that same idea of judging others. And he says that there's only one judge. Remember that. There's only one judge. Unless you guys took the bar and everything, we ain't judges. And even the ones that sit on the bar and they're judges, they ain't the judge. They are one of the judges, but they ain't the judge. God is the only judge that is going to judge all mankind. This last week, I know you guys are pretty aware of it. Actually, I think it came out 2 weeks ago now. No, it was last week. That movie came out, Sound of Freedom. And it's a heavy movie. Haven't seen it yet, but I already know what it's all about. And it's going to be extremely impactful for those that have no idea the reality of what's happening in this country and in this world. Okay? And the thing is that it's been happening for many years. If you want to know how many years? It happened before Jesus came to the planet. It happened in time of Noah. It happened in time that God has been present. And you know why? Because man does not recreate anything. They just do the same thing over and over. Okay? So the travesty that you're going to realize in that movie has been something the enemy has used to stop generational growth and to keep people from God. Yeah, it's quiet. This should be. It's really impactful because guess what is tied in with that part of life? Money, riches. And the first thing I guarantee you, if any of you guys got wind of it and caught somebody doing it, what's the first thing you want to do? Judge them. That'd be very hard not to. We would want to pass our judgment on that person. And the reason why I bring that heavy instance up, it's current and accurate. But we have to understand that God is the only judge. This is what we profess, church. God will judge. And that should not only spark fear into us as a reverent appreciation of God's saving grace, but that should encourage us to go preach the gospel amongst all the nations. Because if we understand anything about God's wrath, it's nothing that we wish on somebody. Amen? But I'm going to go back. And there's this quote here by C.S. Lewis, and it says, God knows our situation. He will not judge us as if we had no difficulties to overcome. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God knows you're going to go through some stuff. He knows that you're going to struggle through some stuff. And he's not judging you for going through it. He's going to judge us if we ever turn our back from him in it. Amen. Because that's distraction that the enemy wants. He wants us to focus on the storms of life. But right here it says, what matters is the sincerity and perseverance of our will to overcome them. See, perseverance and patience and endurance, all those are all in the Bible. Jesus tells us that we have to endure, that we are going to face trials and tribulations, that they are going to hate us because of his name, that they're going to judge us because we profess the name of Jesus. It's going to happen. Are you prepared, even in the face of, to stand firm? And this is where I get to stand firm here. But Jesus talks about our Jesus. James gives us this illustration of farmers and the rain that God brings and he takes away. See, in that time, the Jewish community would understand what it is to farm. We don't farm the way they used to farm. They would farm where they would be ready for planting, right? Which is when? Spring. Why? Because that's when seeds start to germinate. But actually, did you know that the season started just after harvest? Because after harvest, after they pulled from the year before, they would have to prepare the land. Well, how else would you prepare the land without rain? So God knew after, okay, they harvested, and usually you would get late rain, which would be late October, early November, and that would soften up the ground so they could get ready to process to plant in spring. So then once the springtime starts rolling along, and you get a little bit of early rain, prepare the ground, you throw the seed down, and they germinate. That means that they start working to grow, and they start growing all the way until the fall season again. That's what he is referring to, that there's a patience in that time period of growth. But knowing that even though you can't see the growth in a seed, unless you sit there and wait and wait and wait, you know that the rain is doing something to that seed where it will grow into something and you will reap the harvest. But that takes patience. You ever heard that term? It's like watching paint dry. I've done that. You put on the first coat, you're at work, and you got to wait for it to dry. So guess what? You wait. Not dry yet. Okay. And you wait. It's like watching paint dry. There's a patience that comes with it. And he says it a couple of times. He says in verse 7. Be patient. Then he says, patiently waiting. Then he says, be patient. And then he comes to stand firm. Because you have to stand firm in patience. You cannot be patient and not stand firm. Because guess what? We get tired of waiting sometimes. How many of you guys have been praying for something for a long time? You're like, okay, the Lord's just not answering the prayer. And then you start looking at God and you start asking him, why aren't you answering my prayer? And we're like a little kid. There was a video I was going to show, and it's the marshmallow test. I don't know if you guys ever seen that video. It's Ignited Media. And they sit a kid in a room, a little kid, and they put a marshmallow in. The lady tells them, okay, if you save that marshmallow until I come back, I'll give you two marshmallows. And that's the test. And there's a bunch of kids, and they put one. He goes, okay, save it. You can eat it now, or you get two later. And she walks out the door, and the reaction of these kids and how they're touching it and just, they get a little piece of it. That time period of waiting for the true blessing, the real blessing, that's what we are enduring on a daily basis, church. Because sometimes God is quick to answer a prayer. Because in his timing, in his will, amen? Not because we prayed, it's because he was ready to answer that prayer. Sometimes we have to wait for the answer because he's got to deal with you first. Sometimes you have a prayer answered, and then you go through a season of drought. And you're waiting for the rain so you could begin to grow again. But before you can grow, he has to prepare the soil so that way when it rains again, the seed will be accepted and you will begin to grow. We have to understand, sometimes we're seeds and we're just waiting for the growth. But understand that even though we can't physically see the plant growing, God is preparing and building us up. Because what he has next is something great. In our wait and patience, now, what are we waiting and being patient for? Jesus to come. That's what we're waiting for right now. That's the big patience. Because when he comes, we understand that the harvest is going to be ripe and ready to be pulled from this earth. It's going to be ready for his kingdom to be reestablished, where he will take full and sole authority, and he's going to say, hey, you know what? You are the royal priesthood, and you are heirs to the kingdom, so guess what? You are going to rule with me as I originally intended it in the Garden of Eden. My God is consistent and persistent. Amen? If you need a promise and a hope today, know that everything that he is doing now was what he originally intended and prepared before. Because he desires a relationship with his creation. That's why he walked with Adam in the garden. That's why he gave Adam authority in the garden. It's the same authority that he's giving to us. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, I am giving to you. It doesn't mean that we're God. Don't walk around with the God complex. We talked about humility yesterday with men. We ain't God. But we can walk around with authority and righteousness in him if we're always pointing to him. Amen. Now, there's this really cool word here. If you guys underlined it in verse 8, it says stand firm, right? Let me get to my note here because this is good stuff. So stand firm. Stand firm is in the Greek text. The word stand firm is steko, S-T-E-K-O. I didn't say steak. Don't get hungry. S-T-E-K-O is the word in Greek for stand firm. And it's significant. Remember, God uses words that are going to pull us in that mean a lot deeper than what you think, right? So you're like, okay, I can stand firm. I'm going to stand firm. We've talked about this. We understand what it is. This is what that word means. It says this. It describes three attributes, three disciplines of a true warrior. I like that. Three attributes. Three disciplines of a true warrior. The first one, be prepared. Stego describes a warrior who has been trained to stand firm in battle. It is a warrior who has prepared himself to fight and win. The true warrior is skilled in the use of his weapons. He stands firm because that is what he has been trained to do. Standing firm in today's world requires training. It requires building discipline and skill into your life so that you are prepared to fight and win the battles you will face. That's the first discipline. That's the first attribute. That we must be prepared in order to be patient and stand firm in that patience. You must be prepared. How do we prepare? Hold up your Bible or your Bible app. This is 2023. I'm real. I know. That's how we prepare. That's how we prepare for the situations and the circumstances that will come against us, as Jesus told us they will. The second attribute of be prepared, it says this. Actually, no, let me go back. It says, never forget the admonition of 1 Timothy 4, which instructs you to strive and train yourself, and do so with great effort. Remember a while back, a few months ago, I talked about we need to stop trying and begin training. See, a lot of us say, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to read the Bible more. I'm trying to do Bible study more. I'm trying to get there. Stop trying. You're going to fail because we are weak. But when we begin to train in the Lord's word and we begin to train with him, he is going to build us up and give us the strength to do. And that's going to come back later here in this section of the chapter. Because we start making promises, don't we? That'll come back here. All right, the second attribute. Hold your point. And I love this one. It describes a warrior who in the midst of battle holds his position and defeats his enemy. It's a warrior who holds his point. A warrior is part of a unit, let's say fellowship, and in that unit he has a position. He has an assignment. The true warrior does his job. He holds his position and stands firm. Hold your position. What's our position? My word is the unfathomable. That's a big word. It is the whole sole authority of my God. And every word that is in this Bible is 100% true. And it saves. It heals. And it brings people grace. And it brings them to him. There is nothing outside this Bible that can conflict or contradict what my God has said. There is nobody that has been able to prove otherwise to me or convince me other than that. Because oftentimes, if you break down somebody's argument, it is lazy and weak. They didn't do their research. Which leads back to the last one. Be prepared. If you know your word, there's no doubt that God is real. Amen? If you know what you have been through, there is no doubt that God is real. So many times we want to forget what we just came out of. But that is our testimony of how good God is. Our testimony helps us stand firm. But in order to recognize it, you have to be prepared. As a warrior. We're fighters. We ain't weak, right? It says, stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. And that is in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. In the midst of battle, always understanding that the Lord will be with us and is with us. Amen? If you're prepared and you're holding your position with your unit, with your fellowship, with your family, and guess what? The enemy can't drive you backwards. There's only one direction to go, and that's forward. And when you realize that you're walking in victory already, that Jesus Christ has already laid out for you, then that walk becomes just a little bit easier. I'm not saying it's a breeze. Just a little bit easier because you know you're walking in his victory. Jess, were you going to say something? I thought I heard something. Okay. And here's the third attribute. Here's the third attribute. Be relentless. Ooh. Be relentless. Sago describes a warrior who is relentlessly persistent and continues to stand firm and hold his point, not just once, but again and again and again. The true warrior is tenacious, unrelenting, and relentless. Be unrelentless. When we are out in the world, we do not need to fear. We sang about today, if God is for us, if God is with us, then who can be against us? There is nobody that could stand against my God. Nobody. And actually, nobody has. There is not one God that has stood against my God. They've tried. And only man tries to raise them higher, and what happens? God destroys them. God destroyed the Egyptians with their own gods. You understand that? Every one of those plagues was based after one of their gods, and God showed them they ain't nothing. I control them too. Amen? Amen? That's exactly what God did in the Exodus. It doesn't matter what God you worship. I control that too. Oh, you worship the God that brings you riches and you light that little candle? Well, guess what? You're broke. Because I control that. And I'm not saying that he's going to make everybody broke. People do make it in this world. They are chasing this world. But I'll tell you what they are lacking. Eternal joy eternal peace, eternal happiness, and eternal promise of living eternity with God. That's what they're missing. Amen? It says, be watchful and stand firm in faith. Act like men and be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be strong. We don't need to be walking around scared of what this world is saying or what they're doing. We don't need to walk around terrified that if we say something about Jesus in our workplace that we could get in trouble. Because guess who walked and got in trouble? With his own people. Jesus. Jesus knew what he was telling the Pharisees. He knew that he was convicting the Pharisees. He knew that his own people were going to throw him on a cross. But you know what? He brought the word of God. He was the word of God. And he didn't hold back. And you know who else did that? Moses. God told Moses, you're going to go free my people. You're going to go talk to a Pharaoh, which is the king, essentially, of the strongest empire in the world. And you're going to tell him you're wrong and you got to let God's people go. Have you ever walked up to the President of the United States and said, you're wrong, you got to let God's people go? Well, guess what? Time is now. And you know how you do that? You start taking back your home. You start with your home. You stand firm in your home. You're prepared in your home. You're holding your position in your home. You're unrelentless in your home. That's where, if you can't do it in your home, there ain't no way you're going to do it out in the world. There ain't no way. Because your kids kind of like you. The world doesn't. When you talk about Jesus. That's how we stand firm. That's why when I was reading through this, and that just popped out, stand firm. How many times have we heard stand firm? Patiently waiting, endure, persevere. Paul says it all the time. You're going to persevere. Jesus gives us the example of perseverance. This Bible is a Bible that shows us that we need to stand firm in his word. Can't do it on your own. It says, because the Lord's coming is near. And then he kind of changes it up. He says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. This is verse 9. It says, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. It's kind of a twist there, right? Why would he go from patience, enduring, and standing firm to don't judge? Because I'll tell you this. When you are not patient or your patience is running thin, who do you lash out at? Or your brother and sister. Then you start blaming each other. Well, you know, God hasn't come because you're not living right, so I'm paying for your price. Look what you're doing. And then you start losing patience with one another. Before you lose patience with God, you lose it in your family first. And you start pointing the finger. God has answered my prayer. Then you start going to God. So he reminds us, don't grumble against one another. As a matter of fact, we pray about it. Let's edify one another. Let's lift them up and encourage them in the word that they stand firm in the word. When a brother or sister comes and says, I've been praying about this for a year and I haven't got an answer, Mike. I don't know what to do. Keep praying. Stand firm. James tells us we got to stand firm for these. We got to persevere through it. We're going to patiently wait because guess what? The soil is being turned up and that rain's going to come and that seed is going to germinate and you're going to realize what God was doing in that time even though you can't see it. Because we can't see it. We can't understand God's timing. So stop trying to understand his timing. We can't even understand his grace. If we did, we wouldn't judge others ever. So when we try to think like God and we're trying to be God, that's when we fail miserably. But when we just trust in the Lord and trust in his word and his encouragement, all of a sudden, every situation, we just leave it at his feet and say, Lord, This one hurts. I don't understand it. But I know that you're going to show up. I know that I will endure this. And if we look at the book of Job, if there's anybody that had a reason to complain and actually dismiss God, it's Job, where he had everything taken away from him, all the way to his own health. All the way to his health. Instead, he looks at God and he has a conversation with God. And God's conversation is even better, isn't it? If you guys remember that chapter when he starts telling him, he goes, I created everything. You know, I have my hand on it. And then God shows up and he gets more than. Guess what is coming for us? More than what we're seeing now. In a very good way. But it's going to take patience. It's going to take patience. We have to be patient. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take endurance. It's going to take action in us to stand firm and be conscious about standing firm. See, sometimes we the reason why we lapse is because we forget that we got to maintain our focus on Christ Jesus. And then we start panicking. Okay, what do I got to do now? I have to strategize. I have to do this. Well, guess what? James actually told us about that too, didn't he? Back in, I think it was chapter 3. When he told us, don't plan what you're doing today and tomorrow. If you are going as a merchant, you're going to go out and, hey, I'm going to go here for a little bit. I'm going to do that for a little bit. He's not saying don't make plans. He's saying before you make a plan, make sure you're going before God and saying, if this is your will. Because when we start asking for his will, then patience in him is stronger. Now imagine this. He's reminding us to be patient, right? Do we take for granted God's patience in us? Towards us? All the time. God is a patient God. Because while we were sinning, he remembered us. While we were enemies of him, he forgave us. That is a patient God. So all the people right now that say, oh, the Old Testament God's just angry. He's an angry, vengeful God. Negative. He is patient. And he is patient with you. Because if he was angry and vengeful, then you know what? He would never promise not to flood the world again. And we'd be swimming right now. God's wrath was poured on Jesus Christ. Because you know what? He loved his creation so much and was patient that he poured it on his own son for you and me. That's patience. God hasn't come back yet because not everybody has heard the gospel truth and that they haven't had the opportunity. Not everybody. We're almost there. That's a patient God. I know my God wants his creation with him because he created it. That's a patient God. And we are sitting here trying to remind us, hey, be patient when your car doesn't start. Be patient in the line at McDonald's. Be patient in the line at Walmart. Come on. You know you'd be sitting there and you start thinking, you're like, oh, man, get that person just hurry up. Why aren't they hurrying up? Honk the horn. That's a story, my dad. What's that? 25 registers, only 3 open. What is going on? But you know what? A believer, somebody that loves Jesus Christ, your excitement that you have when you have that thought and you start getting impatient is to look at God and be, Lord, be my patience. And when I get to the front, I'm not going to have attitude like, oh, finally. I'm going to look at a person and say, hey, how's it going today? And you're going to bring a joy with you that is only brought to you by the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? A couple seconds ago, you couldn't wait for them to hurry up. We're being reminded of patience. You want to look at what great patience is, look back to the scriptures. Jonah ran away. Jonah had to be taught a lesson. God didn't kill Jonah. You want to talk about impatient God? Oh, Jonah, okay, you want to run away? You're dead. Instead, he delivers him from his affliction, from running from God and his purpose, and he is still used in that great purpose to save a people. How many of us were Jonahs running from our calling? And then God delivers us from affliction, and he says, you know what? Now you know that you are called to this people, and I'm going to still use you because guess what? That's my plan, and I am God, and I am going to use you so everybody can see how good I am. And you are going to be the one that says how good he is. That's patience. Moses, Elijah, come on, these are all good people. Ruth, Esther. Think about all the people that had to practice patience. And guess what? They stumbled just a little bit, didn't they? David. Ooh. Daniel. Talk about patience in a land that he didn't belong. Guess what? We are in a land that we don't belong. And in that, instead of grumbling with one another, we stand firm in our unit. We're prepared in our unit. And we are unrelentless about the gospel truth that God has given us. Now let's go to verse 10. It says this, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience, here's that word again, and the face in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. I had to turn my page. Spoke in the name of the Lord. Just talked about that. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And I want you to highlight that portion. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. If you want something to walk away with today, and that is your promise, God has compassion on you and he is merciful towards you because he has called you and he has blessed you and he has called you with prevenient grace to come into his blessings, which is forgiveness. And he has promised that because he is all compassionate and all merciful. In the midst of your struggle and situation and the storm that you're in, he is compassionate and merciful. He doesn't change. He's everlasting. And we need to remember that in the midst of. Because before we look at him and say, Lord, why haven't you answered me? Think about how we talk to God sometimes. Lord, you haven't answered me. Don't you know who I am? I am Mike Villegas, and I prayed this prayer last night at 8 o'clock, and it is 8 a.m. It's been 12 hours, and you have not answered me. And you know the good father's up there, and we're like, there goes Michael again. I know I created him with that tenacity, that impatience at times. But I always remember that he is compassionate and he understands what I'm going through because his son already went through it. And he is merciful because he has patience with me. And he forgives me in my impatience, in my questioning. He forgives me and he says, just a little longer. Because the Bible says the struggle is just for a little while. Just for a little while. Earlier in the book of James, he said, our life is just it's like a vapor. It's a mist. It comes and goes. What might seem forever to us is just a little while. And that's what God's saying. He goes, just hang on. Just a little while. I'm coming. And ain't nobody going to miss it. Trust me. I'm coming like a roaring lion. Jesus is going to be coming on that white horse with a sword out of his tongue. And he's going to have eyes of flaming fire. Look at Revelation 19. One of my favorite scriptures. If you want to look at something that will fire you up real quick, just see how Jesus is coming back. There's going to be no doubt who he is. There's going to be no doubt that every government in the world will be destroyed by his ruling kingdom. That should shiver the spines of all these people that do the stuff they do. And finally, in verse 12, it says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear." This is where I told you it was coming back. "Do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." Now, this has very significant in that time. There would be a lot of conversation, and you would often swear on God. Like, "I swear to God that I..." Now, thank goodness we don't do this in 2023. "I will swear to God." And what that would do is it would actually bring God into the midst of that agreement. It was almost saying, like, "I have the authority of God with this agreement when I say I swear to God." And what happened was they started taking advantage of it. You would say it first so you could beat the person next to you from saying it to you. So you're saying God is in the midst of this agreement, even if it was bad. So what James is specifically telling the Jewish Christians at that time is stop doing that. God is God. He's not your magic genie that's going to do your bidding. What he's encouraging us to say today is a yes or a no. Are you with Christ Jesus or are you not? There's no in between. It's a yes, or no, a no. Are you all the way in or not is the question. Because guess what? The second coming's coming. And when you're in the midst of struggle, are you with him or not? And it's easy to say yes until the struggle comes. Until the enemy comes to our doorstep. It's like, "Oh, I'm with God. I was saved yesterday. I'm on fire." And then the actual fiery arrow, the darts come our way. We don't have our shield up. We're not prepared. We're not holding strong. We're not in our unit. We're not holding our position. And all of a sudden, our yes is like, "Well, maybe if God answers me on this one today." That's not how we walk as Christians. We stand firm and we say, "Yeah, I am in. Bring it. I'm not fighting this battle. God's already fought the battle. So guess what? I have complete trust and faith in him because he is all compassionate and all merciful. He is going to forgive me when I start to stumble. He's going to pick me up out of the water and he's going to walk me to the shore and say, 'Okay, you done? Now go do my work.'" No retreat. There's no room for giving up any position in your home. There's no corner in your house that the enemy should own. Or he doesn't own it. He tries to take it. You pray over every corner. And I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again because the Holy Spirit wants you to hear it. And I know it. It's got to get pumped up. You pray over every nook and cranny, and you say, "This house is serving the Lord. There's no place, there's no position, there's no corner that the enemy can reside because there is light. It's the light of the Holy Spirit that I walk in, and my God forgives me when I mess up. So guess what, enemy? You can't remind me of the things that I do wrong. I already know this, and I repent for it." It is okay to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." With a truly repentant heart and say, "Lord, I messed up again." And you know what God says? There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the enemy can't even condemn you. He's going to try hard. Do what you mean. James is leaving that with us. Do what you mean. And guess who else said this? If you go to Matthew 5:33-37, there's a guy named Jesus that said, "Stop swearing, let your yes be yes, let your no be no." So guess what? James didn't make this up. He's just reminding us what Jesus already taught us. You know why he's reminding us? And I'm going to go off real quick. Because Jesus says, "Go out, make disciples amongst all the nations, teaching them and reminding them of the things that I taught you." That's what he's doing. So guess who you are? You are the one that God has commissioned to go out, baptize in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit amongst all the world, and teach them and remind them of the teachings of Jesus. And that is the authority we walk in. And the only way we can do that is to be prepared, is to hold your point or hold your position, and be relentless. And I'll tell you this, church, one of the hardest things about being relentless is understanding that we're going to lose people along the way. When we start talking about Jesus, people all of a sudden get a little uncomfortable. Our friends, our families, people around us. Oh, this guy talks about Jesus too much. He talks about God too much. He's a little too Christian. Well, I'll tell you what. My Jesus was a lot Jesus. And that's what we walk in. When we're standing firm, but the only way we do it is to be prepared. We got to be prepared, church. Yeah, he's saying amen back there. He gets it. I even told, I think I was talking to Scott earlier, and I said, man, I don't want to leave, I want to get out of the book of James because it's been so rich. And he goes, just start it over again until we get it. Because we need to get this. When you start understanding how good God is, and God is, we always say God is good, and all the time, and he is. We don't just say it. That's what we believe. That's what we're practicing. We're saying what we mean. When one of our brothers in our unit is having a hard time, if you're not encouraging them in word and you're just giving them an opinion, I've always said my opinion is terrible. I have a good opinion, trust me. It's terrible sometimes. Sometimes my opinion is not what God wants them to know. He wants them to know how much he loves them. He wants them to know how he heals. He wants them to know how he's persevered, how he's delivered. And I'll tell you this right now, he wants them to know that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So when you think that you're in trouble and that maybe God's taking his hand out of your life because you're going through a certain situation, that's the enemy lying to you. Because my God is compassionate and he's merciful. So obviously I'm going through this right now because he is going to teach me something out of it. He is building me up for something greater. And you know what? If his will is that I have to endure this for years, whatever that is, this is, then I'm going to do it with great joy in understanding that, just like Paul says, I could do all things Christ who strengthens me. Remember, we go back a little further. It's enduring and persevering. And the only way we could do it is because Christ is our strength. Amen? Amen. Let's get through this together as a unit. Let's start making a declaration of our home. And when you make that declaration, just like Jess said, when in marriage, there's a covenant that we make with one another. Let that yes be yes and that no be no. Don't make promises on God. Make promises with God. Amen. Amen? Amen? Let's pray it out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder today of what it looks like to persevere and be patient as we wait for your coming, Lord. Lord, we look all around us and we see all the things going on, but Lord, we know that you have us here for a greater purpose, that there are people that need to know your goodness. And we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity that you give us to wake up in the morning and go out and be an heir to the kingdom, an ambassador to the King of Kings. Pray that we can be bold in our witness and unrelentless, Lord, that we could continue to press forward in the midst of all the negativity and be the joy that the world needs right now. Lord, we pray that we could be prepared, that you open up our minds and our hearts to your word in a way that we've never been exposed before. That we see the life in your word, the life-changing lessons and what you've done and all the things that you've done to deliver us from evil. Lord, we thank you for all that you do in our homes, and whoever's going through things right now, I pray that this word was a blessing to them, that you have prepared for them to understand that they are enduring for something greater and that seed is going to bloom its fruit. It's going to explode because, Lord, you are the water of life. And when you pour into us and when you cultivate our bodies, our spirits, our souls, that there will be growth. But it's a growth that we would not even expect because it's so perfect. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. Joy on the horizon. Here my faith is found. I stand on solid ground. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. A solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands.
Standing still.
So Paul writes to the letter to the church in Galatia, says this in chapter 6, verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. You guys have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday night up in Wrightwood for the fifth church, which is, who's our fifth? Philadelphia? I think we're in Philadelphia. Fifth church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We'll see you on Wednesday.